Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Friend Show. I'm going to be your host today. My name is Makoni, filling in for Nicholas Lorimer with my guest host, Marius Ruart. We are going to be filming today's episode slightly earlier than our normal scheduling. So if any stories pop up on the scene afterwards that we didn't manage to cover, do receive our apologies. It's because of load shedding that we've had to move up our streaming time. Right. Let's jump into our first story for today. It is one that News24 is describing as State Capture 2.0. A very long story, but I'll give you a brief overview of what it entails. It's titled State Capture 2.0, Mashatile and Creasy Push ANC Deployment Candidate for SAA Top Job. It is surrounding the filling in of the CEO position for the state-owned entity South African Airways, and that the minister, Barbara Creasy, and Deputy President Paul Mashatile are undermining the candidates who were recommended by the board of SAA, despite their chosen candidate scoring the worst of all the enlisted people to fill this position. News24 writes that Transport Minister Barbara Creasy will recommend the worst performing candidate for the CEO job at SAA after intervention by Deputy President Paul Mashatile and the ANC Deployment Committee. So their preferred candidate is Professor John Lamola, who has been the interim CEO of SAA and deputy chairperson since 2021. And News24 reports that months after the board had decided on its preference, the current Kenyan CEOs, or Kenya Airways rather, CEO Allan Kilavuka, Mashatile and Creasy conducted their own interviews of Kilavuka and Lamola on the 15th of January 2025 at the official residence of the deputy president. They report that it's unclear what role the deputy president would have in these interviews, because this is within the purview of the transport minister. And effectively, News24 is claiming that they have seen the letter that was written to the Minister of Transport, Creasy, by the board, in which they recommend their preferred candidate. And they go on to allege that Creasy made a call to Derek Honeycomb, who I believe is the chairperson of, well, the board chair of SAA, instructing the board to change their pick, and that the board quickly convened a meeting, but that they refused the request to move their initial position from the candidate that they had chosen, which is the Kenya Airways CEO. Various spokespersons for the minister deny this. They also go on to describe Lamola as not having his first brush with CADA deployment, that back in 2017, the Sunday Times reported that Lamola's name had been found on a list of names the Guptas had drawn up for the appointment of the board of AXA Airports Company, South Africa, and that it was handed to an advisor of the then Transport Minister, Ben Martins, in November of 2012. Marius, is this the reemergence of state capture? Should it matter that John Lamola has experience? I mean, he is the interim CEO of SAA, and SAA turned a profit for the first time in its 2022-2023 financial year since 2012. So it turns its first profit in 10 years at the helm of this Professor John Lamola, despite the fact that he scored worst of all the candidates that were recommended. What do you think about this?
Well, I don't know if it's the reemergence of state capture or just state capture carrying on as it's been, and we just had a little holiday from it. And I think you make a good point. Obviously, John Lamola is he's somebody who's obviously pretty capable. He's not somebody who's just been taken off the streets and made a CEO of SAA. It's not like when Des van Rooyen became finance minister 10 years ago. Obviously, Lamola has got some skills and so on. But it is a bit concerning that it seems Paul Mashatile and other people in the ANC have interfered in this appointment. Just reading, there have been three people, obviously nominated to become CEO, And the person who did the best, I forget his first name now, but Mr. Saunders, he was they decided not to appoint him because he didn't have any experience in the airline industry. That's why the Kenyan fellow was. But we also have to ask, I mean, does South Africa need a national carrier? In recent years, many national carriers, many countries have, you know, decided to, they've either privatized their national carriers or gotten rid of them. I think Kenya and Ethiopian Air are both either owned 51% or only half by their respective governments, and that's something South Africa needs to think about. We need to do we need the if we really want a national carrier, does the government have to be 100% shareholder in it? And yeah, we've seen SAA is obviously it's being used as a patronage network for South Africa or for the ANC, and unfortunately, it looks like it's maybe going to be more of the same. Yeah, and as I say, the we don't really need a national carrier. The private sector is already filling up, you know, the gap that's needed. And if you need to go abroad, there's lots of airlines that fly to South Africa, and within South Africa, there's lots of options as well.
I agree with you, Marius. I think even though the turning of a profit is a big milestone, this does come after all those billions of bailouts that were stuffed into SAA. But also, I do see some recurring themes of state capture, the likes of the Zondo Commission, you know, like patrimonialism, the stuffing of government with friends and family of the government. And clearly, Professor John Lamola, even though he may be qualified, he's done a full tour of state-owned entities. I think he was part of Denel Air or something. But yeah, and the fact that his score is not the best, I mean, our appointments need to be merit-based. And if somebody scores the worst, that article goes on to detail the scores of each of these candidates, including Saunders, who you mentioned. And I think Prof. Lamola's is in the 50% range and Saunders is in the 70% range. I think there could be huge improvements in our state-owned entities if such candidates, quality candidates, were hired. Although I think their concern was that Saunders had never occupied a CEO position of an airline. I think he's a CEO of an airline or an executive of a CEO in an airline, but not quite the CEO of a national carrier. All right, let's move on to our second story. This one is about the disciplinary hearing of one of our beloved MPs, Duduzile Zuma Sambutla, and daughter of Jacob Zuma. So News24 reports that MK Party MP Duduzile Zuma Sambutla will be subjected to the party's disciplinary processes after the social media rant in which she goes on to berate the Secretary General of the party, Floyd Shibambu. So this is word from their Deputy Secretary General, Nombusa Mkhize, who was briefing the press in Sandton. They report that Sambutla made a series of inflammatory remarks against the Secretary General, Floyd Shibambu, and that Shibambu has responded, stating that he does not respond to anything said on social media or hold any grudges. I believe Sambutla called him a Mafikizolo, which News24 reports is a derogatory term for newcomer. I think derogatory makes it sound heavier than it is. It's more, I would think it's more tongue-in-cheek than derogatory. Shibambu displays some maturity here, Marius, saying, and I quote, "I don't get offended by anything. I know that leadership is a responsibility and will always come with all sorts of accusations and all sorts of insults, sometimes of unfair judgments. And I took this purse responsibility fully aware," Shibambu said. And if you're curious about what Jacob Zuma, president of MKP and father to Duduzani, thinks of all of this, the deputy secretary general Mkhize reports that he was present and that he guided them on how to proceed with the matter. The Deputy Secretary General said the national officials deliberated intensively on the matter, which went viral, and that the president's wisdom and guidance was that every member that belongs to Umkhonto we Sizwe should abide by the constitution and code of conduct of Umkhonto we Sizwe. Marius, the president, former president, president of MKP, seems to displaying some impartiality about this disciplinary process, which may see Duduzani be removed from the party. What do you make of?
I'd be very surprised if she does get removed, but it does seem like MK Party is becoming quite a circus. Basically, every week there's a new story about stuff going on there. Last week there was a story about how they want to change the party's constitution to make it so that public representatives can't, contact President Zuma directly. Just before that, John Mzwanele Mani apparently got into fisticuffs at Parliament over a speech that John Mzwanele gave, and apparently, which Mzwanele Mani had written or something, but Jacob Zuma hadn't cleared. And I mean, there's always there was just about a month ago, there was accusations about it that about 40 million rand has gone missing from the companies or from the party's accounts. So really, I mean, this is just you really have to wonder if you look at this stuff, if the party's going to last much longer. I mean, I don't think somebody like, I mean, if the party's sensible, I think they would get rid of Duduzile Zuma. She's obviously quite a toxic figure in that party. If you saw the way she attacked Floyd Chivambu on social media, doesn't matter what you think of Floyd Chivambu, the way she spoke to him and using the F word and so on and saying what a terrible person he is, just that simply it's not becoming of, the people that are should be in parliament. You do want your parliamentarians to have some dignity and gravitas, and I'm not sure Duduzile Zuma has that. I think she's the definition of a nepo baby. I don't think she'd be a member of parliament if she was in any other political party. But so maybe there's going to be some discipline within the MK party, but yeah, as it stands, I don't think I think the ANC was probably quite scared of of MK 6 months or a year ago, but as it stands now, I think the party's I mean, it's kind of tearing itself apart, and just a lot can still happen in the next 2 years up till the next local government election. But as it stands, I'd be very surprised if MK does anywhere as well as it did in the local government election as it did in the in last year's general election. You muted, Makone.
Not much to add to that, except that this is one of our biggest oppositions in parliament and they need to get their act together. If not for the party, then for the sake of holding government accountable, which we need to see more of that being displayed. And if they cannot get their affairs, internal affairs in order, then how are they ever going to assist with holding members of the executive to account?
I
And
just want to
we
add one thing. I made the point with Nick Lorimer the other day. South Africans actually don't like parties that have all these internal squabbles. COPE was a very good example. It went from getting nearly 8% in its first election. Then there was all fighting between Mazima Shilowa and Masiwe Lokota. And the party then collapsed very quickly. And now it's not even in parliament anymore. So yeah, South Africans actually, they don't like these like voting for parties where there's all these internal wrangles.
Indeed. Hopefully the NKP is watching and will heed the wise advice of Marius Roux. Last story is about the State of the Province address that was delivered by the Premier of Gauteng, Banyaza Lusufi, yesterday in Tshwane at a special economic zones area. He opened the address with apologies to residents of Gauteng about the water issues that they have been facing in some parts of the province, but IOL reports stopped short of saying what the government that the government was responsible. He went on to say, and I quote, "We can't claim to be a smart province, and we still subject our people to the Stone Age problem." He spoke about the Gauteng 13, a list of 13 issues that the government of Gauteng needs to focus on and to reverse in order to get us on a path of being a smart city. These include everything from water to potholes to crime to traffic lights that don't operate to the lack of schools and failing infrastructure in CBD. And then he went on into unemployment and gender-based violence, drug abuse. Yep, that should cover much of the G13 as it's being coined. Marius, we're building a smart city on rubble. We don't even have water. Yet we're talking about all the ways in which our city can compete with your New York's, which is what you think of when you think smart city, right? Like New York, London, Paris, those sort of cities. G13, what do you think of his list of 13 issues that need to be reversed?
Well, it's unlucky 13, I think, maybe. It's all well and good identifying the problems. That's not that hard to do. I think anybody who lives in Gauteng or any of the cities here can easily point out the problems. They just need to be fixed now. And a lot of them are very big structural problems, but a lot of them are pretty easy things to fix, like your traffic lights. I mean, I'm pretty sure any Joburg or something like me lives in the East Rand or in Tshwane. When you go drive around, probably at least half the robots you go through these days aren't working. And I mean, just on the issue of water supply, the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago, in the big cities in Rome, they had proper sanitation. They had running water in the cities of Rome, not even Rome itself. The places there were outside Rome, the big cities in the empire, they had running water. And yeah, in South Africa, Joburg is still our most important city, and half the people don't even have running water anymore. That just tells you. There's some serious problems, and it's all. I'm glad that Panyaza Lesufi identified the problems right, and he didn't blame Afrikaners for a change, which is quite nice to see. Or maybe he did somewhere in the speech, I didn't see it. But yeah, it's all very well and good identifying these problems, but they need to get fixed. And yeah, there's all this talk of smart cities, also a bit silly. It's really wanting to run before we can walk. I mean, how can we have a smart city when people don't have electricity or water 24/7? It's just you've got to laugh, otherwise you'll cry.
Even houses, people don't have
Exactly, yeah.
houses which water and electricity is going to run. But yeah, there's a lot of issues plaguing Gauteng, and hopefully the premier will stop with all the ambulance chasing and the photo ops that he tends to somehow find himself entangled in, and get on with getting Gauteng back to its glory days, which he said explicitly. Thank you for joining us. That concludes the show for today. We will be back tomorrow with another episode of the Daily Friend Show, and that's a wrap.
The Daily Friend Show and the Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.